Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we present this special message by our elder and teacher, Brother John Albaugh, as he presents a study titled, Are We Really Listening to the Heartbeat of Jesus? This is part one of two.
Romans 6, 23 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up that glory of the Father, even so also should walk newness of life. For if we have been planted together with death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, whereas ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, and to iniquity. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then, things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, be seated. And I'm going to ask my dad to open us up with prayer. Dad, can you ask the Lord's blessing on the preaching? And then we'll dive into it and have some fun. Can you pray? Ask the Lord blessing on the service.
Good God, for word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name with thanks and praise. Lord, thank you for this favor that you give us. Thank you for the love that you give us to share. Thank you for this gathering here this morning. And thank you for all those who have come out. And we just ask your blessing upon those that have come. We ask your blessing upon those that have come on this place. And upon this town, and we also ask your blessing upon the preacher as he brings the word of the life to us. Guide and direct us, I pray, and forgive us for our trespasses and our sins. Be merciful, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, our topic today, are we really listening to the heartbeat of Jesus? As far as I can tell, there's only two people that heard the real heartbeat of Jesus as far as the Gospels. One, of course, has to be his mother, all right, holding the baby. The second one was John the Beloved during what we call the Last Supper. On there, it says he leaned on Jesus' breast. He could hear the heartbeat. There came a time at that Last Supper when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "One of you here at this table is going to betray me." Now, it's fascinating, out of the 12 that was there, 11 of them said, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" 11 of them had guilt in their spirit. "Lord, is it I?" Only one did not have any guilt in his heart, and that was John the Beloved. Because he said, "Lord, who is it?" He knew it wasn't him. Are we really listening to the heartbeat? When you're close to the Lord, there's no guilt. There's no shame. There's faith. There's love. There's joy. There's happiness in him. When you're away from him, it's guilt, it's sin, it's bitterness, it's anger, and we can throw in the rest of it there. Lord, who is it? Is it I? Where are you at today? Are you really listening to the heartbeat of Jesus? We already know America is in big, big trouble. And it's because we're not listening to the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not listening to it. I'm wearing a tie today from Canada. Up until a couple of years ago, my wife and family was going to Canada, up to Nova Scotia. We went 8 years in a row, and on one of the trips, I had everything packed because we normally go to church on the Sunday there, and then we work for 5 weeks at a Bible camp. And my job was to repair doors. My wife and daughter, they were would paint the place, and Johnny would do all sorts of odd jobs with them. And on one of the trips there, I brought everything except a tie. So we stopped at the Dollarama store, and I found a tie for a dollar. Okay? Now, I'm wearing it today. It's a reminder of several things. First of all, the gospel is go. So for 8 years in a row, we went to another foreign country to share the gospel of Christ. And of course, every time we went up there, we would share 200 to 300 gospel tracts, leaving a trail of tracks from Columbus, Ohio, clear up there and clear all the way back. And one of the things we find out in Canada is that the mosquitoes in Canada are big. In fact, I brought one for you. Okay? They are big. You'll see all sorts of jokes on how big the mosquitoes are. And I will tell you this, when you get bit by one of the mosquitoes, you still have the bite a week later. They are big. And you got to watch out for the black bites because they'll get you in the eye and you'll just swell up big time. So I was asking the pastor up there, I said, "How do you know any of your folks are spiritual?" And he said, "That's not a problem up here up in Nova Scotia." He goes, "After the service, if they get bit by a mosquito, we'll hear the mosquito sing, 'There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood.'" All right. So hopefully, if you guys get bit, that same thing is true for you. Okay, our faith is centered on three things. It's centered on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want to clear up the problems in America, they need to hear the Word of God. That's the only place you're going to find faith, and it's in the Word of God. Jesus is the author of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The reason we put the Word of God first instead of Jesus is because of Psalm 138:2, where it says, "God has magnified His Word above all His name." There's been a big trend in the last 50 years to exalt the name of Jesus above the Word of God. And when they did that, They've gotten rid of the Word of God. They've changed it. Right? And when you change the Word of God, then you change what Jesus you're worshiping. And the one they're worshiping today is very likely Antichrist. The third thing our faith is found in is the blood of Christ. And that is going to be our text today. Romans 3:25-26 is our text. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. All right? To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice here, the blood. I don't have all the ins and outs to tell you this any more than I know that the Word of God says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. There's something about our existence being connected with blood, and it's hard to separate the two. There's a connection there. So when we study what Christ did on the cross for us, he shed his blood. Faith in his blood. There's something wrong with the blood that you and I have. Something drastically wrong. And if we was to go to, I think it's the Hebrews, and I've got it written down in the notes for you there, Hebrews 12:4. It talks about striving against sin, and then the next part of the verse is blood. There's a connection with our blood and with sin. With the blood of Christ, there's no connection with sin and his blood, except at the cross, where he becomes the substitute for us. His blood is different from our blood. That's why he had a virgin birth. Faith in his blood. Our spiritual heart starts beating the moment we believe the gospel. Every person born in this world is born with two heartbeats. Your mom's and then yours. If you don't have her heartbeat, then you're not going to have a heartbeat. That's just the way it works. Every spiritual birth from God has two heartbeats. The heartbeat of Christ and now your heartbeat. Spiritual heartbeat. And we know this from Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, the heart that God's given to you, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The spiritual birth has a beat to it. It's a spiritual heartbeat. Before we're saved, we have a dead heartbeat. There's no heartbeat towards God at all. What's wrong with the United States? There's no heartbeat. They're dead. They're trespassers. They don't hear the Word of God. They don't hear the heartbeat. You can only hear the heartbeat through the blood of Christ, through the Word of Christ. That's the only way you can get it. Believe in thine heart starts the heart beating. Pump, pump, pump. Now, there's four things about the blood of Christ that we're going to share with you. Actually, five things. Probably about a month ago, I gave blood at the Red Cross. They were desperate. And when I give blood there, I give what you call a double red. And so what it is, they go into my body and they yank out just the red blood cells. They don't take the plasma, they don't take the white cells and all the other stuff. They just take out the red, just the red ones. And what's good about it, it goes through a filter. And after it goes through a filter, they're able to take that blood in the same hour and go to a hospital and transfer it to somebody else. All right? And it can help up to 6 different people. So that's fascinating. But I was talking to the guy, and I was talking about blood, and I said, how many parts are there in the blood? 4. There are 4 parts. The first part you have is the red cells. Then you have the white cells. Then you have the platelets, and one other one. Plasma, yeah.
Duh.
Okay, plasma. Those are the 4 parts. Now, realize this. We're getting onto the first part, The heartbeat of Jesus is to cleanse us from all sin. Notice in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish. There are 8 billion people on this planet. He doesn't want to see a single one of them perish. Now, you and I both have common sense. A lot of them are going to perish. And I don't understand the aspects of all that, but it's in the book. But we just want to get in with the heartbeat. He's not willing that any should perish. Billy Sunday said, if a man ends up in hell, then he ought to be there. All right, because he rejected the Christ of his salvation. Our text here comes from Romans 3 through 7. And we want to take a note on the first part of the blood. The heart is what pumps the blood into the body. So I'm making that the first part. If you don't have the heart pumping, nothing else is going to happen. You've got to start with the heart. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What's the first thing we want to find out about the blood of Christ? Before we're saved, we're serving the devil, we're serving idols, we're serving whatever else is out there. But the moment you believe on Christ, you're no longer serving dead works, you're serving the living God. This Christmas will make 40 years for me to be saved. And I hate to tell you this, but all I've heard through 40 years in every church I've been into, 10% serve, 90% do nothing. All right? Now, I think it's the fault of every church if it's set up that way. And I'm not too sure that the 10% is even serving the Lord. All right? And something else I didn't get a chance to put in the notes, but when you get saved, there are 7 stages of spiritual growth. 7 stages. You know the first stage is baby? You're not going to give a steak to a baby. You're going to give him milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You're not going to take a babe in Christ and send him off to be a missionary. You need to wait till he's up to either stage 3 or stage 4. All right? 7 stages. I didn't have time to put that in the notes for you, but if you'd like to have them, contact me and I'll print a copy for you. But the whole heartbeat is whether you're a baby in Christ or whatever, you want the desire, if you're saved, is you want to serve the Lord. It's in there. And you don't have to be part of the quote-unquote church setup to be a servant for the Lord. All you need to do is just be a witness, and you'll be serving them. And there's different ways to serve them. The gospel itself has 3 parts, and this should be mind-boggling for some of you. Notice in verse 6 in Romans, crucified with him. Now, who's this crucified talking about? That's you and me. Before we got saved, wages of sin is death. We're going to die. We're being crucified at that moment. We're shedding our own blood, and it's not saving us. We're dying at this point, going to hell. But notice the hope with him. If you do a careful study in Scripture, you have Adam and Eve at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And notice the phrase, there's Eve with the tree. She ate the fruit and says it gave it to her husband with her. With her. He didn't eat it first. She did. And then he ate it. Notice here, that's you and me. We're crucified with him. He takes our place. And he sheds his blood and covers all our sins. At the time that this happens, all of your sins and all of my sins, they're all future sins. And when he died on the cross, he not only died for all our past sins, he's died for all our present sins, and praise the Lord, he's died for all our future sins. And you say, well, Brother John, we're saved by the blood, why is there still sin? Because there's 3 parts. You've got body, soul, and spirit. The spirit gets born again. The soul is being transformed by the Word of God. And good night, what's left? The body. This is not the brand new body we've been promised. This is not it. We got a brand new body coming someday.
Amen.
All right, so we're only technically 2/3 redeemed. But according to Ephesians chapter 1, we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's going to come through with his part of the deal. And one of these days, we're going up and we're going to have a brand new body. No more flesh nature to contend with. We're always going to have a flesh nature to contend with until he comes back. If you study the Apostle Paul, I like what he said.
He said, I die daily. The Apostle Paul had the same problem you and I have. He still had a flesh nature to contend with. Every single day he had to get up and say, I'm going to die today to myself, and I'm going to trust the Lord. And you and I, we can't do it any better than what Paul did. Every single day, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Whatever you have come this day, I'll trust you for it. Notice here, we were buried, but we're buried with him. Now notice when this is salvation, this here is a picture of sanctification. Notice buried. That means we're down below. Notice in here, buried with him. Where's the blood at? Well, thank God it's up here. That means we're now separated from our blood. Separated. We're now set apart for him. And then we have risen with him. This in Scripture is known as glorification. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Why? Because someday we're all going up. Pew! Risen together, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. The key verse for this part here is we believe that we shall also live with him. With him. That's the key verse out of Romans we want to get from Romans 6, 3 through 7. Now, the next thing we're going to cover is white cells willingly die to kill infection. I don't have the stats for you. You can look on the internet or a book. We have a gazillion red blood cells, okay? We don't have very many white blood cells. But at the time we get an infection, this white blood cell begins to multiply, and it surrounds whatever the infection is and kills it. Now, I'm sure some of you, you've had a cut or something, and you've seen the little white stuff that forms. That's your white blood cells, and that's what you call pus. All right? They willingly gave up their life so that the infection would not kill the body. And that leads us to the next point. Number two, the heartbeat of Jesus yields all personal rights and ownership. All right? And that's what the white blood cells do. They don't live for themselves. They live for the body to kill. And when it does that, they lay down their life. The heartbeat of Christ, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If he had Christ laid down on the cross for you and me and shed his blood, we would not have eternal life. Christ is a beautiful picture of the white blood cells. What's our infection? Sin. Every one of us covered with sin. And Christ became obedient unto death. He gave up all his rights, gave up his ownership. Someday when you and I are in heaven and we see the glories and the beauty of what heaven looks like, we're going to see what Christ gave up. Amen. He gave up all of heaven to come to live down here so that you and I can have eternal life. Amen. He gave up the crown down there. How do I know? Because when he's tempted by Satan, Satan offers him a crown. Satan says, you fall down at my feet, I'll give you the crown for the whole earth. And the Lord says, no deal. I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to get the crown back that way. All right? And when he comes back in Revelation 19, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, amen and amen. White cells willingly die to kill infection. Mark 8, there is no verse 3:4:4. Okay. Typo somehow. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, what? And take up his cross. All right? Very first step after you and I get saved and we're trusting the Lord, he wants us to die to self. That's the very first step. We can't even follow Christ if we're not willing to pick up the cross and to what? Deny ourselves. And that is so hard to do, really, until we look to the cross and trust Christ. There are three levels for the believer. Verse 4, buried with him, what? Into death. That's where we learn to die to self, is the second part of the gospel. Believers, after we're saved and we buried with him unto death, we're now dying to self. Second commandment is love one another. First we love the Lord, and then we love one another. And when we love one another, this is what it means. We ought to lay down ourselves for the brethren. And I've been in very few churches where they lay down their life for each other. They're more like in a fisticuffs. Okay? Fight, 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 fight. Why? Because they never learn how to lay down their lives for the brethren. One of the cars that Jill and I had was a 79 Ford Futura. It was a holy car. It had rust holes everywhere. There even came a point on that car where I had to have a 2x4 to hold Jill's seat up so she could drive the car because it would bounce and hit the road. Okay? The car was a free gift, by the way. It was a free gift through prayer. I can tell you all sorts of stories on it. But the one in particular you like, it had a gas leak in the gas line. So I'm in church and I'm asking for help. Is there any brethren willing to lay down their lives to help me out? Okay? That's a good one. So, here we are. It's after church, and there's a guy that's been coming for about a month. He knew how to do it. So I said, can you help me out? And he thought about it for a few seconds, and then whatever, said, well, okay, I'll come over and help you out. So he came over to my house. He got out the tools. He had to cut off a part and put some form of compressor in there to hold it together. And while the guy's working on it, he's crying. Tears. And it wasn't from the gas. And so I looked at him and I said, what's wrong? He said, in all my Christian life, he said, this is the first time I've helped out another Christian. First time. He had the tears coming down, rolling down from his face. It's something I'll never forget. But he willingly laid down his life so that we could have a car that would run. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's the way our fellowship should be. When we find out what a real need is of another person, any way possible, we should be the first ones to try to help out. The third level is for the unsaved. I couldn't put the whole verse in here, but the Apostle Paul was saying, I wish that myself was accursed for my brethren. He's talking about the Jews. Paul was so intense in wanting to see the Jews come to a saving knowledge of Christ. He's saying here in the Holy Spirit, when you and I are in the Holy Spirit, we're willing to give up our life for the Lord. Even if no one gets saved, we want to do it for the Lord. All right? And here's Paul saying, I wish myself was accursed. He says, I wish I could hop on a cross and shed my blood so all my brethren could be saved. All right? I'm sure if you think about it, you've got family members you'd love to see saved. And if there's any way that we could use our life to be a substitutionary death so that they could go to heaven, when we're in Christ, we want to do it. And that's even on the most unlikeliest family member. The key here is that of verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's the key. And alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the right picture. Red cells, nurse, and cleanse. All right, the red blood cells, you got a zillion of them running through your body. If I remember right, I think every time your heart pumps, all your blood goes through the body in 23 seconds. That's miraculous right there all by itself. Your red blood cells have at least two jobs. Your red blood cells, the blood is the only thing in your body. All the cells in your body are stable. They don't go anywhere except for the blood. The blood is what goes everywhere throughout your body. The red blood cells nourish the body. They take all the vitamins, the minerals, and whatever else, and it goes to every different part of the body and feeds it, so it's alive. But then it takes the waste product and then runs it out. So it collects and runs it out. Scripturally, the heartbeat of Jesus transforms our soul by God's word.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.